Morning. Good to be back and see everybody. Enjoy visiting. Just had to, anybody get out to the Labor Day conference at all at Greenwood? We had some pretty good messages and had a chance to, was talking to a young fella after the conference, and he said to me, he says, "Bill, I didn't get anything out of this conference. Steve Holshiser gave a great message, Barry Kirk, Bruce Holshiser." He says, Steve gave a message on, you know, talking from Timothy about the farmer, the servant, the soldier. Bruce was talking about self-sacrifice. And don't ask me why I'm sharing this, but it just kind of amazed me that this young fellow who's a believer, is excited about the Lord, said that he didn't get anything out of this conference. And I think that, I don't know if he was looking for some excitement, something to rev him up emotionally. I think he mentioned something about it not being practical. I mean, to me, when you talk about the devotion of a soldier, that's very practical. The diligence of a farmer. And anyway, one of the things I'm doing with you all this morning is that I had a chance to read a book by the man was the author, David Paul Tripp. And he also is the author of, I believe, Shepherding a Child's Heart. I'm not sure if that's, no, that's not the author. But anyway, the book was very convicting. So I don't want to say that this is one of those book groups this morning, or anybody in a book group, where I guess you read a book and get together and discuss what was in the book, whatever they call that. But there was one particular, I can't say one particular chapter, but the whole book was convicting. Hopefully will change my life for the better, for the glory of God. So what I did was, is I'd like to share some thoughts from one of the chapters. Obviously, it's based on Scripture. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. But one of the things that was convicting in the book was, you know how nowadays, it amazes me when you watch the news, the things that they capture on video. Now they have this website, I guess it's called YouTube. I mean, there's not many things that you cannot see that haven't been videotaped. You know, you hear about so-and-so robbed this convenience store, and there it is on videotape. So-and-so got in a fight, a high school fight. There it is. They show it on videotape. How did it get caught on videotape? But the question was posed was, if someone were to watch the video tape of my life, and this is what convicted me, if someone were to watch the videotape of my life, what would they conclude? If someone were to watch a videotape of your life, what would they conclude? What would they say that I'm living for? If they were to look at it, what would they say is my mission in life? And so when I started reflecting on that, there was certain things that began to, you might say, poke me and needle me, and as maybe the Word of God, it says it's like a little knife starting to dissect. If you really thought about that, if they were to take my life and people were to sit down, believers, maybe unbelievers, and okay, here's Bill Merkel's day. Here's Bill Merkel's life. What conclusion would they come up with? Or if they had videoed my interactions with people, my communication, what I talked about with other people. Or, how about this one? If they saw my interactions with my family, with my wife, and with my kids, what would they say? Of course, you know, we don't get videoed when we come here on a Sunday morning. It's a different thing when you're in the house. I can remember first few times when we first got married. You know, I can remember my father-in-law next. Yeah, my wife just said, here he goes. Last time I said we got married in the year 2000. I got a girl at 16, a girl at 15. I meant to say 1990, but we lived in a three-family house, and our first residency was on the third-floor apartment. You know, and I can remember my father-in-law who, you know, he was a fireman / carpenter type laborer. You know, wasn't really deep philosophical type of guy, even though I think he's getting a little more philosophical as he gets older, or maybe reflective, I should say. But his premarital advice to me was, expect to fight. You know, I'm reading all the books, the Dobsons and the, you know, all these premarital books, and he, you know, one night he says, Bill, you know, let me just give you a piece of advice, you know, just expect to fight. I said, okay. And it was a good piece of advice, because, you know, before, when you're in that courting stage and everything is, you know, pretty smooth, you get to go home at the end of the night, and you really don't notice the faults as much as you notice as when you begin to live together. But when the first fight came along, it was like, okay. You know, he said this was going to happen. So, the expectation. But then, there were times, not as often I would say now, and not as intense as they were in the first few years. But I often thought, I wonder what my landlady thinks. You know, because we could hear her stirring around downstairs, and I'm thinking, I wonder what she's thinking about. You know, she's always was sweet, and she was an older woman from Yugoslavia. So if they were to watch a video of my interaction with my family, what would they say about my marriage? Or what would they say about my parenting? Or what would they say about my relationship with my neighbors? And here's a convicting statement, because again, as I mentioned to you before, it's really pretty easy to put on a good display when we come Sunday morning. It's easy to put on a display when we come out midweek. But if they were to watch it, what would their conclusion be? What would they say that Bill Merkel's living for? Oftentimes, it would be good to do this, because you know, when we talk to others, oftentimes we are better at describing the actions and reactions of other people than we are ourselves. We know the scripture says it's easier for us, you and I, to detect, you might say, the little splinter in our brother or sister's eye than it is to detect things in our own. So I just leave that to you. I think that if you were to look at a video of your own life, you would probably see, okay, what's important to you and how you deal with relationships and situations that you encounter every day. So I give that as an introduction here for what we're going to talk about. Now, as I mentioned to you before, the book that I'm reading is called The War on Words. And basically, it's a 200-page book that focuses in on our conversational life, what we talk about. And again, as I mentioned to you before, if you were to watch that video, or if I were to watch a video of my own life and to focus specifically in not so much on my actions, but on my communication, what would my communication be like with the important people in my world? What would I find? What would you think I was seeking to accomplish? Would I see manipulation? Would I see self-interest? Would I see self-glorification in my conversation? Or again, as I mentioned to you before, what would you include, or what would you conclude was important to me in my conversations? I'd like to challenge us and challenge myself this morning. You know, as I think when I was here last time, the challenge was to ask, is the Lord of every area of your life? And one of the things in the book that convicted me is that when I read that the Lord created communication. And then the author went on to say that the Lord not only created communication, but He created words. And that they were created by Him, and that they exist through Him. And that they are to be used for Him. That our ability to communicate has been given to us by God. What are we using it for? That's such a blessing when I think of the animal kingdom and the difference between us and the animal kingdom. The fact that we do, and I'm not saying that animals can't communicate with each other, but perhaps they can't communicate the way we can. Do our words help us to do His work? Do our words that we speak help us to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. What is the standard for what you say and speak throughout the day? Is He the Lord of your mouth? Now, I don't know if I've given the message, but there's a whole chapter in the book of James, we're not going to do it today, that talks about the difficulty of controlling the tongue. I'd like to suggest to you that as a Christian, He needs to be Lord of my communication. To think about, I never thought of the fact that the words that I have, God gave me. My communication abilities, God gave me those communication abilities. What am I using them for? He's given us a responsibility to carry out. I ask you this question. Are you speaking for the King? Are you speaking on behalf of the King? We've been given a responsibility to carry out. If you would turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And look at verse 11, please. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance, not in heart. For we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And the thing that really hit home to me, and again that was brought out in this book, is that we are ambassadors. Am I, Bill Merkel, if they were to look at the videotape of my life, if they were to look at the communication that I've had with my wife, my co-workers, the members of our chapel, would they say that, hey, Bill Merkel is an ambassador for Jesus Christ? I would say probably not. But this is what has brought upon me. I started to begin to ask myself, am I living as an ambassador? Think of the responsibility that comes along. And not only just a responsibility, but a tremendous privilege. You think of, obviously, if you think of somebody who goes and represents this country. Yeah, he's in another country. He's representing the United States of America when he's in that country. He's not there to carry out what? He is not there to carry out his own will. He is not there to speak on his own behalf. He's there to speak on behalf of who? The president. He's there to speak on behalf of the United States of America. He is the ambassador. He has a high position within the government. Think about that in your own life. Being an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Being an ambassador, you need to be concerned about what? You need to be concerned about what is the mission of the king, the prime minister, the president. You need to also be concerned about the method. You cannot go and be an ambassador and just use any old method that you want to use when you represent somebody else. You have to use the method that has been designated. And what about the character of the one you represent? And those three things all need to be kept in mind and need to be part of the person who you represented. An ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 17, it says, chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It would be an impossibility to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ if this verse weren't true of us, that old things have passed away. Think about the old things. Think about the old man for a minute. The old man, my old man, not my father, but my old man within me, was self-centered, was centered around my own agenda, my own methods, my own objectives, was centered around self and self-interest. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and He created a new person, we call it being born again, He infused into us what? He infused into us a divine nature. And in that divine nature, He's giving us the capability of carrying out the mission, the method, and the character of the one we represent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, in this chapter, also says that we've been reconciled. So at one point, we were at enmity. We read that this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. We have been reconciled to God. He has given us a new ministry. The ministry is called the ministry of reconciliation. If you look down here, verse 19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has done what? Has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It doesn't say that you need to have the gift of evangelism or the gift of shepherding or the gift of helps or the gift of teaching. We've all been given this ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. If you would see, it says we're as though God were pleading through us the work of reconciliation. We are not free, or at least we shouldn't be. We're free in this country. We have freedom of speech. But as a Christian, I asked you, as an ambassador, are you free to advance your own agenda? Are you free to advance your own selfish purposes? If that is what is true of you, then you would have to say, hey, you know what? You're not really an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Because that's not the method of the Lord Jesus. That wouldn't be His mission. An ambassador for the Lord wants to carry out not only the mission, but as I mentioned to you before, the method of the Lord. One of the things that I know I struggle with is my own personal agenda. Things I struggle with are things my own interests. You know, when I make my list out of things to do for the day, not that they're necessarily bad things, but I have to ask myself the question, is it my agenda? Or is this the agenda that the Lord would want me to carry out? When I communicate with others, is it based on self-interest or am I representing, speaking for the King? That's being an ambassador. You cannot, and I cannot, be a successful ambassador if I am motivated by self-interest or by my own interest. Another thing that I cannot be, an ambassador cannot be a part-time ambassador. You either represent the Lord in a full-time way, or you don't represent Him. You cannot be a part-time ambassador. One of the things that it brought up in this book also that really brought some seriously convicting thoughts was the fact he says that we've been called to represent the King in a way that incarnates Him. I've never heard a message on that. I never thought of that. Not only was it convicting to think about being an ambassador, how is my life, how is my speech, how is my conversation representing the Lord? But do I live in such a way that incarnates Christ? Now we know the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And then you go down in that chapter and you go to verse 14. And it says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, then you ask yourself, well, what was the purpose of the Word becoming flesh? What does the Word do? The Word communicates. What did the Lord Jesus Christ communicate to us when He took on the form of flesh? Did He not communicate to us who and what the Father is like? Did He not say in the Gospel of John that the words I speak are what? My own self-interest? My own personal agenda? What I want to accomplish? No, He said that the words that I speak are not my own. He came to demonstrate to us who the Father was. And in the same way, we are to incarnate, this is a serious thought, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. You read in these chapters, it says that we are a fragrance. We're diffusing the knowledge of Christ in every place. How are we doing that? We're doing that because why? We represent Him. We are His ambassador. If you look at that verse again, it says, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, oh, as though God were pleading through us. Incarnating the Lord Jesus Christ. To incarnate means to embody in human form, to personify. You know, again, I go back to what was read at the Lord's Supper. That I was once dead in trespasses and sins. That I was once at enmity, a child of wrath, deserving God's punishment. One who perhaps would be at the cross yelling, "Crucify Him." But yet, God has transformed me. Not only has He transformed me, but now He's saying, "Hey, you know what? I want you to incarnate My Son in your life. I want you to personify the Lord Jesus Christ in your life." What a position of honor that is. What a majestic position that is to be able to take an unworthy sinner such as myself and such as you and to say, "Hey, look, I want you to replicate the life of the Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't that what you and I have been called to do? It doesn't matter where you are. Wherever you are right now is where God has you. In your family, in your job, in your community, God has you there, but He wants you to represent Him. He wants you to embody the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants people to see you and say, "Hey, there's something. I could see the Lord in that person." Do you have a person in your life like that? That when you talk to that person, that you could tell that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is coming through. I'll tell you what, it's wonderful to be around those type of people. That you know, I mean, there's speakers that I talk to. There was one speaker this summer. I maybe talked to him twice. Brother shakes my hand and says, "I love you, brother." Dude, you better get to know me first before you say that. Did you know what that did to me? I hung on that every man's word when he spoke. He personified to me the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. "I love you, brother." Not many people have ever said that to me. To me, this guy, his ability to speak, he's one of my favorite speakers. I look at this guy, hold him up here, because not only his ability to speak, but when he shares about what he's involved ministry-wise, as far as being a tremendous Christian. And then for had this guy who, like I said, maybe I talked to him 2 or 3 times. I love you, brother. That's persona. That right there is speaking, communicating for the King. We are called to incarnate the Lord. Let me ask you this question. We are to be His eyes, His ears, and His mouth. We put flesh and blood to who He is and what He wants for those around us. We are called to make His character and His will known and seen. Do you believe that God is working in me? Do you believe that God is working in the people sitting in this room? I do. I believe that if you're saved, the Lord should be working in you. And if the Lord is working in us, my question is that do I represent, do the words that I communicate to you enhance your ability to reflect Christ or take away from that? Hey, if the words that I speak to my children are harmful, and there have been some, that does not represent who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You know, the Bible says that all authority has been given from God. That's a pretty solemn thing. That I am in a position of authority being the head of my house, and that the words that I speak ought to represent the Lord. Because the Bible says if they were to disobey me, it's like disobeying the Lord. When they disobeyed Moses, what did God want to do? He wanted to destroy the people. Because why? They disobeyed God's viceroy, who was Moses. We are called to speak for the King. We are called to incarnate the Lord Jesus Christ. What was God doing? What does the Bible say God was doing? It says that He was reconciling the world to Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. What was He? He was a redeemer. He redeemed His people from His sins. That's why our words when we speak should have a higher agenda and a purpose behind them. Verse 20 again. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. He is making an appeal through us. To who? To those that we come in contact with. He wants to reconcile. We have the ministry of reconciliation to the world. Are we incarnating the Lord Jesus Christ in our life? To speak as an ambassador should mean that we are always asking God, what does He want to accomplish in our hearts and in our listeners' hearts? When you think about His mission, the Lord Jesus Christ's mission, what was His mission? What was valuable to the Lord? Let me ask you a question. The Lord Jesus Christ's mission, wasn't it to reach the hearts of the people? Couldn't he have forced us to believe? Couldn't He have come down, put a big sign in the sky and said, hey, look, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that what God wanted? Didn't He want His mission and His purpose? Didn't He speak to the heart? Didn't He want to see changed hearts? Hey, listen, let's look at the Word and we'll take a look at the mission that God had for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 15, please. It says this. And He died for all that those who live. Look at this. Hey, this is you don't have to read the book that I read. You know what? You don't even have to listen to this message. But look at this verse. That those who live should no longer live for themselves. That's a heart change. That's getting to the heart of the matter. That they should no longer live for themselves, but what? But for Him who died for them and rose again. No longer live for themselves. He is trying to reach our hearts. What does He want? What's in our hearts? Well, we know that what's in our hearts oftentimes stands in the way of true worship and service for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's ourselves. That we should no longer live for ourselves. What happens when we do live for ourselves? Can't we say that we, perhaps, some of us, myself, look at the videotape? Is Bill Merkel an idolater? Am I an idolater? Well, what are you talking about? You're speaking at Waynesboro. I mean, why has Brother Bob Deeds asked you to speak if you're an idolater? Well, you know, Bob's a little crazy himself, so. And that is the worship of self. Wasn't that the problem? It goes all the way back into the garden. It goes to the new religions that are trying to be established. The garden where it says, hey, you could become as God. That's my sinful nature. I can become as God. And what was that? If you look in Matthew 4, what did the devil try to get the Lord Jesus Christ to do? He tried to get Him to act independently in His own will. Just about each and every temptation. And our sinful natures are to want to be like God. We want to call the shots. We want the glory. We want the worship. And this is what the Lord has come to rescue us from. He's come to rescue our hearts. So why? So that we will not live for ourselves. And I believe a lot of that has to do with the Lord knows. Hey, you live for yourself, guess what? You will never, ever, ever be fulfilled. You will always be empty. You will always be seeking for something else. You will always be seeking for a new fulfillment or a new thrill. So I ask you this question. If the Lord is trying to reach our hearts and has reached our hearts, and we are called to be His ambassadors, should not our communication with one another and with those that we come in contact with also reflect that same mission or desire? I come home from work convicted. Why? I talked about how bad the Eagles are. I talked about everything but the mission. And I'm not saying that you should never talk about those things. But if I were to look back and really look at the video of my life over the last 6 years being at Chambersburg Hospital, how much of it would reflect me being an ambassador carrying out the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did I incarnate Christ in my conversation? If I were to look back over the last 18 years of my marriage, and I communicate with my wife and children, is my communication a reflection of me trying to minister to their hearts? Or, probably most often, it will be my own personal agenda that I've been trying to accomplish through my communication. Where self and self-interest was the rule of my communication. See, the Lord wants me to, and you. It's found throughout the Gospels. It's not a new doctrine, but it is a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ to deny oneself. You read about it in Matthew. You read about it in Luke. You read about it in Mark. You read about it in the Gospel of John, that we should die to self. We should deny ourselves. We should take up our cross, it says, and follow Him. His goal for us is that we would turn from ourselves and do what? To worship and serve Him alone. That we who live, verse 15, should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. And as He changes us, we will become more like Him. We will truly be able to represent Him as His ambassador. We will be able to speak in ways that represent His purposes in other people's lives. Now, I never gave that thought before. That when I am talking to somebody else, I never gave the thought of, you know what, the Lord is working in that person's heart. Am I representing Christ in my communication to that person? Am I trying to carry out the mission of reaching that person's heart? Is the Lord working through me to reach that person's heart? Just something to think about. The target of the mission is the heart, the seat of worship of God, the worship of God or of idols. Let's just have a short prayer and we'll finish the message up in a few minutes. Father, we thank You again for this day. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the conviction it brings. We confess our failures to You, Lord, and just pray that You'd help us all to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. So don't talk to me about football. Basketball is different, though. That'll reach the heart.